Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to Fitzy and Hart on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Top of the second hour here on a beautiful Black Friday morning on what we hope has been a wonderful, restful, fulfilling and fruitful Thanksgiving weekend for you and yours. Love the rejoin, by the way, Joe. Little She Sells Sanctuary. Try to say that one five times quickly. From the great rock band. Which rock band gave us this song? Andy Hart. The Blank of Belichick. Cult. Good answer.
Yeah, I never gonna get that.
Ah, come on. Great song. Anyway, I'll continue to just climb up and die on that hill, trying to see if I'm tapping into your pop cultural knowledge or if you know any of the rock songs we rejoin with here on WEEI.
How come you didn't have Dolly Parton singing?
My God, what are we doing? By the way, what is someone's great-grandmother doing out there in short shorts and that kind of outfit on national television? Think of the children that are watching as their fathers and their uncles and their grandfathers are either lusting after the television like an overhorned up Tony Romo or snoozing away after a Thanksgiving feast. Good Lord, Dolly. That's just not natural. It's not right.
Well, obviously it's not natural, but
how much time do we got for all the flaws of that performance?
But she's promoting a new album. She has like a rock album. You're talking about rock singers. She has like a new rock album or something.
Listen, I'm a card-carrying member of the Dolly Parton fan club, sure. So many great songs as well. I mean, I could do an hour on just why Jolene is one of the all-time great ones. But
that I know.
Okay, good. Excellent. Finally, we met on common musical ground.
Jolene,
but, jeepers, creepers. Jolene. If people were upset and had their proverbial undergarments in a bunch over the Shakira performance at halftime a couple years ago at the Super Bowl, remember all the hand-wringing and pearl-clutching that came along with that performance? How many complaint calls do you think the Central Broadcasting System got yesterday at halftime? Or were people too tryptophaned out to be able to handle that?
One of them being Tony Romo.
Well, one of them
being... He was like, all lubed up. Jeez.
Jim Nance was, like, uncomfortable when Romo kept going back to it. Like, okay, Tony, I was trying to go to the second half of the game now. Stop making creepy comments about the old lady we just saw dancing in her underwear.
I walked in for 1 second. We left the TV. We ate late yesterday. I walked in. It's like, oh, the halftime show's on. Someone's like, can you turn the football audio down? I was like, sure. I walk in. I was like, oh, it's a good thing we're eating right now because I don't want to have to explain to my 10-year-old what's going on with someone who's older than his grandmother on stage.
And the thing, Daddy, why is that old lady in really short clothing?
Well, she was a Dallas Cowboy, and it's okay. Yeah, but the thing that made me uncomfortable was when she would kind of just paced a few steps in either direction, because obviously she's 78 years old and doesn't have a lot of stage movement, but she would like reach out and put her arm on whatever the metal star or whatever that was behind her, the backdrop. And I was legitimately concerned, we're going to see Dolly Parton fall down on stage, and this is going to be just an unnecessarily...
What, stumbling like Biden? Yeah. When Joe Biden tried to do that jog up the ramp one time and just completely ate it.
Yes, yes. But everybody loves Dolly Parton. That's the difference. At least half the country hates Joe Biden, so they giggle when that happens. Like, this would be a legend, a lovable legend, maybe falling on her face on national TV, and I was just like, please don't let it happen. Please get through this, and let's move on.
How was, just like, I didn't expect to go down this road, but sometimes, hey, that's kind of the magic of live sports talk radio as well. Go ahead and feel free to weigh in on the Dolly Parton halftime show. I'm already getting inappropriate text messages from people saying, like, all right, everybody, just behave. Come on, it's a family-centric weekend. Let's concentrate on the turkey bowls and the game on Sunday and not about Dolly Parton and, you know, certain lists that she and her performance may have fallen on. 617.
So when you and I do a little segment on Dolly Parton, is that four boobs?
Once again, 617-77. Hey, Andy, I hate to bust up your good time right now.
Waka waka.
Let's see if we can get the breast of what everyone else has to say here in Pat's Nation.
I can't make the crickets any louder, you guys.
All right, Joe. All right. Let's focus on some different islands in the stream. Here we go. Back to the phones we go. Paulie is out in Dedham. He wants to chime in here on Fitzy and Hart. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning, boys. Happy holidays. I hope your Thanksgiving was great yesterday.
You as well, my friend.
Great song. That was a great open. This segment. That's a hell of a song.
Right.
It's along the lines of a long way to the top. If you want to rock and roll, by AC/DC.
It's one of my all-time favorites, Paulie. Yes,
brother. I was at the Joe Bonamassa show at Providence Performing Arts Center on Thanksgiving Eve. He is off the hook. It's the third time I've seen him in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. He is outstanding. Have you ever seen Joe Bonamassa?
No, I never have.
Road seat on the orchestra, $113, and it's worth every time. Saw the North Mississippi All-Stars last month. Nice. I saw him down at Providence, Fitzy. And then the following, we had such a good time that they held the show for me the next night in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. That was supposed to go on at 7:30. They held it till 8, and they had a free ticket waiting for me. There's a people in the ticket office, so we get a special gift for you, Paul. We get you a free ticket down on the floor so you can holler at your boy.
There we don't go. Know who's living right life for, better than this
we
guy.
We love you. I said, I ain't no right. I'm thinking to myself, I'm an ass kicker. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of things on football. One quick thing on hockey. Look for David Krejci to return. The trade deadline, he was down in Dallas with the team a couple of weeks ago. I've been thinking about it a couple of weeks before that. I saw him. I said, I'm right. I know I am. He's going to ride to the rescue for his brother. And he's at for his brethren, Pasternak and Zaka. He's going to be back by playoff time. If he didn't have the itch, he wouldn't be down in Dallas. He'd be home playing with his wife and his kids, you know. But the Patriots, as far as the Patriots concerned, Fitzy, two things quickly. I found out I was right, and this game comes from the top. Tom Brady did want to come back to the New England Patriots last year, but we're stuck with Mac Jones. Instead of being close to the 8-2, we're 2-8. Just like I told you, he wanted to go to San Fran before that. And, oh, by the way, if he went to San Fran, he'd probably still be married, and we would have had no shot of getting him back. You're looking at quarterback rotation to be. When Belichick says everybody be ready, translation is Max going to start. He's getting a quick hook. If he's not no good, Zappi will go in, and he'll probably suck too, which he has all year. And then Greer will get his shot, and that's how it's going to go.
All right, Paulie, thank you very much. There you go. Paulie just did us a huge favor. He gave us our music minute. He gave us our Bruins break and some Patriots thoughts. I mean, I think we're good. Joe, just play Christmas. Pipe in some magic Christmas music till 11:30, and we're good to go. Andy, you still there?
Yeah, I just was letting Paulie do his thing.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, you know, it's Black Friday morning. You know, just let people do their thing if they've got a number of thoughts to share as well. Whatever.
David Krejci return. That's
I was not expecting that one. I don't think Krejci's gonna. Okay.
There are multiple reasons why he'd be with the team in Dallas. 100-year anniversary. Uh-huh. He was on the team a year ago. Uh-huh. He's still got friends. Uh-huh. I could keep going.
I don't
think
he's coming back. I don't think he or Bergeron are coming back. I know Bergeron was in the area last weekend at this big hockey expo. My buddy Mark Riley was working. He's obviously a resident of the area as well and will make multiple appearances. Just because you see Patrice Bergeron out doesn't mean he's returning anytime soon either. And I think the Bruins right now probably are very comfortable with the roster they have and not bringing out the guys that were showing a little slog in the skates at the end of last year. Though they are absolute legends, and we shall not besmirch the legend of those Bruins at any point in the program. Matt is in Rhode Island and would like to join the show. Hi, Matt. Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too, guys. How are you doing this morning? Listen, Fitzy, I was hoping you could help me out with a problem. I know you're the T-shirt guy. I got a bunch of t-shirts. Max 10, don't worry about the trademark infringement. We got that covered. Mm-hmm. Max of the Future and Alabama Mac. I was wondering if you had anywhere I could offload those for me. if you did, get back to me. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I got a couple donations.
Tommy DeVito's uncle, maybe.
Yeah.
You talk to Tommy DeVito's uncle. Okay. How are the Patriots 3.5-point underdog favorites tomorrow going to New York? I know the Giants are terrible, but they're actually playing football down there. Everyone's making a joke, haha, Tommy DeVito and whatnot. He's a lot better than what we got going on right now. They're playing with some emotion for Brian Daboll. Like, I think they're going to, you know, see what happens Sunday, but I see them beating us pretty badly. And one last thing, how did we miss on, if you wanted to make an emphatic move in the Patriots upper office, they should have gotten Tom Brady as a kind of a John Lynch figurehead. You know, he went to Las Vegas to do that. I don't think there's anyone that knows football better than him. I don't think there's anyone that can evaluate talent and intangibles better than him. I just don't think there's anyone better than him. I don't know how they missed on that. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you very much, Matt. We appreciate the call. I guess it's multi-point Friday. Like, we're having a Black Friday sale, Andy, on having multiple opinions per call, which is good, too.
It's like a plate. It's like a Thanksgiving plate. There's lots of stuff all over it.
From the Tom Brady audio we shared last hour to the calls we've been taking this hour, please bring your Thanksgiving plate of opinions, thoughts, ideas, jokes, and more to the show. We could use them. We celebrate them. And
that is interesting. He thinks the Giants are going to crush the Pats and that their offense is much better than the Patriots' offense.
Playing much better than the Patriots now. They're actually playing football. They're showing up for their coach and giving max effort. And Tommy DeVito, Matt in Rhode Island, Tommy DeVito better than any option at quarterback the Patriots have right now. I mean, I know 2023 comes at you pretty hard and pretty quick, Andy, but holy smokes.
Well, we've talked about this week. Whatever Tommy DeVito is, he's the starting quarterback of the New York Giants. You don't have a starting quarterback. You're going to start somebody on Sunday, but they have a guy that's been making plays for them that I'm betting guys in that locker room kind of like where the little mojo's been the last few weeks. And I also am along with Matt. The best players in this game play for the New York Giants. Saquon Barkley is arguably the best player in the game, or Dexter Lawrence, or Thibodeau. Like, we talked about this the other day, Fitzy. If you drafted players out of this game, there's some guys getting drafted by the Giants more than from the Patriots. So I don't really understand the line either. The 3.5 Patriot favorite. So if this game were at Gillette Stadium, they'd be 6.5-point favorites. That sounds crazy to me.
That's insane to me.
Yeah, I don't truly understand it, but they always tell you in gambling, if it seems like Vegas knows something, they usually know something. There's a reason they have multi-gazillion dollar resorts and eyeballs that blink in Vegas. They make money. They're smart. But as we talked about on Six Rings, I don't see any reason to pick the Patriots anymore the rest of the season, so I won't.
The worst stat that I think I've read in forever was yesterday, Andrew Callahan tweeted this out and, you know, just received an absolute blank storm of replies. But that's what happens anytime you take to the Twitter or the platform now known as X and share information people don't want, especially on a holiday. Deron Bland, who recorded his record-breaking fifth pick six of the season with six games still to go for the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. Remember, he's the one who picked off a pass against Mac Jones when he threw it across the field in that nightmare Jerry World. Five pick sixes on the season. Did you know that's as many touchdowns as the entire New England Patriots receiving corps has, Andy?
Yes, and
that was an absolute talk about a rusty screwdriver right to the kidney on that one.
To make it even worse, I believe four of those come from a guy who's on IR with a torn ACL, Kendrick Bourne. So
did he have three or four?
Three or four, whatever it is. The bulk of those touchdowns from Patriots wide receivers aren't walking through that door. They're coming through that door on crutches, and they're not allowed to play until next year.
Who's got the other touchdown? Wait, hold on. So I know one for Juju, three for Bourne Pauley, and who's got the fifth wide receiver touchdown? That's also sad that two-thirds of the way through the season, the Patriots only have five wide receiver touchdowns.
You only need one hand to count.
Oh, my God. Oh, no wonder why. Maybe Matt's right. Maybe the Patriots shouldn't be 3.5-point favorites on Sunday. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. We'll continue taking your Patriots calls as well as check in quickly around the rest of the Boston sports world. How you Celtics doing? How you Bruins doing? What's up with the Red Sox? We'll run through your NFL Week 12 slate, give you a quick preview of all the action going on today with the first ever Black Friday game, which is a super expensive ploy to get you to shop for more things on Amazon. And then, of course, at 11 a.m., Bill Belichick live before we wrap it up at 11:30 and throw to the Boston College Eagles pregame show here on WEEI. But first, let's catch you up on everything else going on in the wide world of sports and beyond with producer Joe Braverman.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you starting Sunday?
Hope so. I mean, that's the plan. I think I always work really hard for that. Really put a lot of attention and detail into the week, like I talked about. And a lot of that decision making is things I can't control, but I can control my attitude and my effort, like I talked about, and I'm really thankful overall just to be in the NFL and be playing quarterback, you know, on Thanksgiving, right? It's a great week to be grateful for a lot of things and to play this game, the game we love, together. I think that means a lot to me, regardless of the situation.
Here, Andy, I speak Mac Jones. Please let me go play somewhere else next year. I appreciate diplomacy. Coming off of a day where we like to see our children showcase some manners and please, yes, and thank you, and, you know, what I'm thankful for and blah, blah, blah. I personally was thankful for the fact that the weather was beautiful yesterday and I could throw the football around the yard with the kids, and we had played wiffle ball in the street for an hour and a half on Thanksgiving Day. What an absolute treat. But as far as Mac Jones goes, I'm trying to focus, you know, it's really just a pleasure to stop. Just like, you know, I've screwed up. This place has dinged me up beyond repair. Like, let's just stop. I'll be honest. Why not just what is your level of fatigue that you have sometimes when athletes do all of this, like give you nothing double speak and don't just actually come out and just speak their mind? Like, what if Mac Jones just stepped out and said, like, you know, organizationally, I just don't think things have been a good fit. What's it going to do? Get him benched? What's it going to do? Is he going to get pulled from a fourth game? Is he not going to be able to play one more time? Like, just sort of say, like, come out and just be like, I've sucked at in a number of games. you know, we just have a disconnect here organizationally. And I think, you know, we all need to take a look and try and improve. And I'm not going to be around this league very long if I keep throwing pick sixes and missing wide open receivers. Like, God, these give you something that says a whole lot of nothing. Don't you just tire of that eventually? Or are we just going to get more of that as the season progresses?
I do tire of it, but I also understand it. Right, it's one of those things. Can you flip the script and put yourself in his shoes when you're a still young, hopeful quarterback, hopeful that you're going to get other opportunities in the NFL, and things you do and say and the way you handle yourself could affect your future landing spots or opportunities or the ability for the Patriots to do something with you. So I understand it. I keep saying this. If he was as successful executing on the football field as I think he does at the podium for the most part, he'd be a better quarterback. I think he's actually kind of navigated this relatively well over the last couple seasons in what is a pretty tough environment and a tough situation for him personally and professionally and everything. It's hard, and I think he's done a decent job of it. And yeah, we'd like him to just say, I suck, maybe I need to go somewhere else, but that's not the right way to handle himself as a professional and a leader.
No, I know. I think that we've just gotten just so many verbal roundabouts and so many like saying,
hey.
Yeah, hey, hello, hey. Yes. Hello. No, I know you've appreciated a number of times when Mac has held himself with some dignity and composure. Yeah. And yes, of course, we all like to see that as hello. Well. But hello, thank you, Michael.
And I don't even really like him.
That's I know you're the one part. Who said like that you think he is the dink extraordinaire.
Well, extraordinaire strong. I think he's kind of a dink. But I think he's done a pretty good job.
You're either a dink or you're not a dink. You can't be dink adjacent.
Oh no, I think there's levels of dinkiness.
I think getting hit's always fun.
And I think he probably believes that. Did you see Henry Hasselbeck at the Zavarian game yesterday had a Mac Jones like look to him, got popped in the nose and did like his post game interviews with just blood dripping down his upper lip and his chin. Maniacal quarterback look that we used to see from Mac Jones.
Yeah, remember when we were all like, hey, this is the guy that, you know, Nick Saban used to yell at, and he yelled back at Saban and he got thrown out of coaching the girls flag football game and has that bloody jersey look and he looks like a psycho killer. Qu'est-ce que c'est? He's gonna pick up the mantle of like obsessive involved quarterback from Brady and take us to a new promised land, or at least back to where we were comfortable for all those years. And instead now we've got this timid shell of a guy who's afraid to even throw the ball because he may get intercepted. Like, his offensive line PTSD and fear of Belichick and the disconnect therein, just that's what makes me say, in addition to just wanting to see something new Sunday, Andy, that's what makes me think you're not doing this guy any good, both as a human being and a football player who hopes to continue his career in the NFL, by running him back out there Sunday against the Giants. I just think it's diminishing returns to a high degree.
So who would you start?
Greer.
Okay.
Why not?
Well, because he stinks.
Probably not. Okay. Who? Which of the three quarterbacks doesn't stink or is not stink adjacent, if you will?
Right now? No.
On the Patriots.
None. You don't have one that doesn't stink, in my opinion.
Have there been any receivers who have taken pass attempts?
Yeah. Can we run the Wildcat? Just have Ramondre back there with Zeke, the offset, and we'll just run Wildcat the whole game? Not kidding.
Kidding, not kidding is correct. Well, who wouldn't want to? I mean, look, you're not. What are you going to rattle off 7 in a row, go 9-8, just miss the playoffs and go, oh, darn it.
Did you say 7 in a row?
Yeah.
How about 1 in a row? I don't see 1 in a row happening. They scored 6 points. Six points. You usually
against the Colts in Germany when their owner spent a decade trying to make the game happen.
What do you call it? A critical game?
You and I joked all season long about how many more pivotal stretches can the Red Sox have? How many more critical games can the Patriots have?
None. I promise. Well, actually, this one is critical. This is a must-lose game. This is the most critical game of the season.
That's right. That's right, everybody. Go pick up an extra sleeve of crescent rolls and get ready to sit down for a Thanksgiving supper on Sunday. Our Thanksgiving brunch. And then, of course, Six Rings post-game show after Patriots versus Giants here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Back to the phones we go. Andrew Curtis is in Greenfield. Good morning. How are you, Curtis?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
How are you calling, gentlemen? Oh, doing very well. Thank you, sir. Hey, thanks for calling in.
All right, so I got a question. With your neutral hats on, no like preconceived notions about who you like, who you don't like. What do you think the Patriots' record would be this year if Andy Reid was the head coach and not Belichick? The only change.
The only change.
It's a good question. That's what we're here for.
I think they'd be better. I think they would have. So they're 2-8 right now. I will give them 4-6.
So they're still under 500.
Yeah, I think they have a putrid roster. I don't think they have a lot of talent. He would be working with limitations at quarterback. It's a putrid roster. I do believe
it's subpar. Come on. So, it's the holidays.
Okay, sorry, putrid.
So would everybody be calling for Andy Reid to be fired or traded?
I don't know what happened. Now, you said our neutral hats are on. It would matter what's happened in recent years, right? Like, how did we get to this bad roster? How did we get to this bad season? Did he ruin a quarterback? Did it blah, blah, blah.
Okay, thanks for the call. All right, hey, listen, Curtis, we appreciate the call. It's a good question, but if you're going to take time to listen to yourself on the radio while we actually talk to you on the radio, which is setting up sort of a Being John Malkovich level of FM consumption, yeah, we just want you to stay focused on the actual call at hand. But thanks very much for the call. If it was Andy Reid as the head coach right now,
yeah,
we're going to play the what-if game because that's how you sports radio sometimes. Okay, they're 4-6, but the thing is, how many years in a row have they been subpar? How many times have they missed the playoffs? How many times have they had a losing record? The Patriots are streaming towards their third losing record in 4 seasons, which is almost Red Soxian, if you will, because, of course, what the Sox do is they win the World Series, and then they finish in last place usually the next year, or for a couple of the next years as well, see 2023, 2019, and more. 2020 especially. Long for the days of old Ron Renicky as manager.
No,
thanks. You know, if it's Andy Reid, okay, so let's say they're 4-6. Would everyone be called? Well, I mean, is he picking all the players? Does he have a general manager that is in charge of player development and acquisition?
Right. That's where the question gets weird, because the first question was about, I just took Andy Reid and I put him as the head of an offense that has been putrid with a quarterback who is maybe good enough to be journeyman, maybe a little bit more than that, whatever. So I'm assuming I get better offensive play results and better quarterback play out of Andy Reid, because I've seen him do it with Donovan McNabb and Mike Vick and Alex Smith. And like, he has proven that he can take hisins on offense and beat urines. He finds a way. So that was the first question. But you're still not a very talented football team or a very good football team, and that's where the bigger picture question comes in. How did you get here? Does Andy Reid have responsibility for that? Blah, blah, blah. But if you just, you know, drop him in out of a UFO into this offense, don't you think he would get more out of Mac Jones, Ramondre Stevenson, Mike Gesicki, Hunter Henry, DeMario Douglas? I think he's proven himself one of the best offensive minds over 20 plus successful years in the NFL. I've argued that he's chugging along to eat away at Belichick's lead as the best coach of the generation, because he's done it in multiple cities with multiple QBs.
Yeah, and look what happened when he finally, all those years that he dragged the Kevin Cobbs to the playoffs and, you know, Donovan McNabb to multiple NFC championships, but never could get across the threshold. Once he finally got his generational talent or all-time QB, Brady for Belichick, obviously, that's what worked for his gaming and his scheming, and now Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And yes, they're having offensive troubles as well now. It's like the 2019 Patriots. Like, you have one super dependable target and then a bunch of Jags out there. And look what you get. You get an underperforming offensive and a frustrated fan base. I think he probably would get more out of the offense as well. No disrespect to Bill O'Brien intended. But you can't judge Belichick and what he does and who he is for the Patriots against so many other coaches, because he's everything. He's in charge, like, whatever's the best interest of the football team. Like, you're more than the head coach. You're the general manager. You're the emperor. You're the lord. You're the king in the castle. Belichick, all decisions run through Belichick, and I doubt Andy Reid has as much of a control freak-related position of power, if you will, within the Chiefs. Am I wrong there, Andy?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. That's a little different power structure.
A little nebulous?
Yeah, but my simple thing with Belichick Andy Reid comparison is they've both been truly elite when they had truly elite quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid without truly elite quarterback has been far more successful than Belichick without truly elite quarterback.
Well, the other side of the coin too is like what you just talked about at the beginning of the show, all the bad drops from the receivers. That's not on Andy Reid though. No. So you can't put right. him on that, but in years past you could put him on that.
What?
One more time, Joe?
Like, let's think of it like this. If his okay. Eagles teams were making drops like the Chiefs receivers are now, back then would you have blamed Andy Reid for those drops and all the bad play from the receivers?
Well, when he was running the show in Philly, you mean he picked the wrong groceries?
Exactly. Like no, yeah. like are we putting the Chiefs drops that they're doing this year on Andy Reid? Because I think back then when Reid was coaching the Eagles, if those receivers were making those drops, everyone would be like, "Oh, what's Andy Reid doing with the coaching there for the receivers and their drops?"
That's probably fair. Like he mm-hmm. had a different, and I don't know exactly what his final say. Power is in Kansas City. He's not the GM, but I'm sure he carries, no pun intended, quite a bit of weight in the personnel department.
Oh.
What? I love Andy Reid.
He said no pun intended.
Exactly. No disrespect, like Parcells used to say before disrespecting all kinds of people in the words that followed. He's in a good place right now because I think he gets credit for the coaching but no blame for the personnel, which is a good place to be in if you're Andy Reid.
Ah, fair enough. It did spark a little dialogue, so we appreciate the question, Curtis. Back to the phones we go. Our old pal Dan is in Cranston. How are you, Dan?
Happy Thanksgiving, fellas.
Yeah, you How as you well, doing? My friend. What are you most Andy. Thankful for, Dan, as a diehard Boston fan and one of our favorite callers here at the old station? What are you most thankful for this Thanksgiving?
Only 7 games left.
that is ding ding ding. That is the correct answer.
Yes. In fact, that Mac Jones thing made me think of a couple things. You know, you could quantify dinkdom, okay? You got a flaccid dink, a half erect dink, and a 6 to 12 dink. So I think Mac is a half erect dink. Would you agree?
I don't know if any of this is okay on Black Friday.
I'm still here, so it must be okay.
I guess. Or we're all in trouble.
You know, at this point now, we'll all go down together, as the song says.
But yeah, another one on Mac. Yep. He's just one of those guys. He just doesn't do it. Like, even listen to talk. I think of, like, if he has to get a locker room, he's kind of like Tom Warner trying to get a Red Sox chant going. You know, if he's trying to do the let's effing go, no, you just don't respect the guy. Like, he'd be the only one yelling. Everybody would be like, whatever. You know, he's just not one of those dudes.
But I think he's more respected in the locker room than he is outside of it. He has a unique dynamic. I do truly believe that a lot of his teammates have been fully supportive and bought into him over recent years. Now, if he's losing that, it's petering out. I know the 80-20 report from Andrew Callahan and all that, but I do believe that he is more liked, respected, whatever, in the locker room than he is seen as a dink outside the locker room.
Everything I believe what you said is true, but does that mean that they think they can win with the guy? That's another subject altogether.
I think they used to. I think they used to think they could win with him. I don't think they can win with him anymore. I also think, and we've talked about this, he's clearly broken. He's not the same player he was on the field. Like, he is not making the same decisions, the same throws, the same, whether it's the offensive line and he's punch drunk from getting hit and not trusting guys, I don't know, or not trusting receivers. I don't know what it is, but he is not the same on-field player now that he was a year or two ago.
He's Sam Darnold. That's who he is right now. Seeing ghosts. He's doing
and
it.
That's, yep, you know? And that's why he needs to go somewhere and just blend yep. into the background like Sam Darnold, and maybe you get a second shot. Maybe you're Geno Smith down the road in a couple of years, and you get a chance, and maybe you take advantage of it because you've prepared for a couple of years in the background.
Sam Darnold. Yep. Right. Wow. All right, Danny, I appreciate the call, buddy. Have a great weekend. I think everything was fine-ish in what he said. There wasn't anything too offensive or contemptible in there, right?
Yeah, I blame Fitzy and the producer if anything went wrong in this segment.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Well, if that gets
way
me
to be
suspended,
a team, Andy.
Yeah, way to be a real team player. Yeah, maybe, you know what? This goes back to what I said at the top of the break about being tired of hearing Mac Jones and other players not say something overall and throw someone, including themselves, under the bus. You know what? Maybe you were right then as opposed to now, Hart, that you're supposed to take it as a team and be a little more diplomatic in your efforts.
Jeez. Call me Brendan Staley. We didn't lose this show because of Andy Hart. This was other parts that lost this show.
Wow, Fitzy and
Braverman. Which means you'll be fired at the end of the year?
Yeah,
Fitzy and Braverman premiering next week on W.
Good point. I don't want to be him. I'm being replaced by Belichick as soon as they could possibly get the deal done.
Or, you know, WEEIAI. We'll just have, like I said, we'll just have ChatGPT take over and we'll see.
It's coming. It's coming.
617-779-7937 is your telephone number. We'll keep your calls rolling on. We will do a Week 12 preview momentarily and tell you what to look forward to in the rest of this week's slate. We'll hopefully take Bill Belichick live if he is at the podium at 11 a.m. before we wrap things up at 11:30 and throw to BC football. This is Fitzy and Hart on a Black Friday morning here on WEEI.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
.10:49, I'm feeling fine on Black Friday morning here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. It's Fitzy and Hart with you till 11:30 in the a.m., at which point we will throw it over to the Boston College Eagles Radio Network. They got the call for the noon o'clock Black Friday Eagles game today. That should be a fun one as well. Of course, there is some NFL action this weekend as well, Andy. We've got our first ever Black Friday game today here in Week 12, 2023. Today, 3 o'clock, the Miami Dolphins travel to MetLife Stadium, where the New England Patriots will be this Sunday, to take on the Jetropolitans. Tim Boyle gets the start for... Oh, wow, you just say Tim Boyle, and all of a sudden the machine gets super excited for football. The Dolphins are a 9.5-point favorite. How are you feeling about this one?
I like the Dolphins being favored. Tim Boyle, you know what I say about Boyles, usually have them removed, so I'm not sure this is going to go very well.
Really?
What? You don't like a Boyle joke?
But do you think the Dolphins can win by 10 or more today? I mean, I know.
Absolutely.
Tim Boyle.
But
how could he be? See, here's a great question. Robert Saleh has pulled his Mac Jones, if you will, putting in Tim Boyle. Will Greer, I guess, by vicarious equation, would be the... Will Greer would be the Tim Boyle, if you will, of the Patriots. So Robert Saleh is kind of throwing a Hail Mary here as well. I can't see the Jets' defense, though. Like, they don't get beat on the outside very much with their excellent corners and secondary. And you don't have Devon Achane is not going to play today against the Jets. You know, windy conditions, kind of cold. Are those conducive to Tua and that offense performing at their best?
They will be if you get the ball to your playmakers and let them run down the field. And I wonder at what point do the Jets defenders just get frustrated and it starts to seep into the, as Matthew Slater talked about, the human nature aspect when you're battling human nature. The Jets defense is really good, although I will say Sauce Gardner, if you go back and watch last week's big play to Shakir.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Khalil Shakir, like the 70-plus yard touchdown.
Yeah, he wanted no part of tackling him. He jogged his ass down the field, and I think you're going to see some ass jogging coming from the Jets defense at some point.
The Jets defense is now so... See, this is what can happen like when a team is like, you know, guys, we can't do everything. We can't carry the entire operation. Like, it's all defense all the time, and I know, you know, no one predicted Rodgers going down 4 plays into the season, but... You know, at a certain point, like that's all they have. That's all they have. I mean, they have no offense to speak of at this point. Garrett Wilson He had a negative fantasy point day against the Buffalo Bills last week. The offense
was so
torpid.
Believe me, I know.
Torpid.
I know. I'm well aware. I may or may not have lost a game by just under 2 points because he had negative points.
That's the pain. Worst fantasy season as ever. But
bigger question, though, Andy. Who was it to?
Davey on the Rich Keefe show.
Oh, okay. Half of the hashtag dork pod.
Yes, it was.
Also, things aren't looking very well in your Week 12 matchup against your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens in the Dork League as well.
I've given up. I'm like the Jets defense. I'm like the Patriots. I've given up. Pack it in. Where can I go to in the second week of January on vacation? Like, it's over.
Stocking your draft for 2024.
The golf clubs already have the hood over them. Andy has his resis. He is checked out.
Absolutely. I'm like OBJ on a boat in Miami.
Let me just throw you a couple other games that actually may have some, since we're expecting not exactly the most watchable or most entertaining Patriots game. Maybe it'll be watchable in a, wow, this is so bad, it's fun way, which will lead to an interesting post-game show for us, Sunday Heart. All right, here you go. Any interest in Buccaneers-Colts? Not so much.
No.
Here we go. The Steelers travel to Cincinnati to take on the Burrow-free Bengals. And Jake, don't call me Nagel Browning. On Sunday at 1 o'clock. How do you like that one?
Don't, because you have one team that just canned their offensive coordinator, their other team without their quarterback. Welcome to 2023 matchups.
That's no matter what you do, every game has an issue about it. Although, maybe, just maybe, we go to the AFC South. The Jacksonville Jaguars, led by Trevor Lawrence of Arabia, take on CJ. Hey, you, get off of my Stroud. Sunday at 1 o'clock. This could actually be for the AFC South title. Whoever would have figured Week 12 would give us a great game from the South, Andy?
Well, just proves you get your quarterback and everything else seems to fall into place. And I truly believe that. CJ Stroud is the organizational MVP. I know people will talk about you get your coach and D'Amico Ryans and you get Tank Dell, you've got a great receiver of value, all those things. But it always starts with the quarterback. That's why the guy earlier who called in and said, you know, the Patriots need to get depth. They need a lot of things. No, you need your quarterback. Just like the Bengals needed their quarterback when Shime said they shouldn't draft Joe Burrow. It's always the quarterback.
It's always the quarterback. Agreed completely. We're going to be rooting for the Cardinals. Sunday home against the Ramajamas because we want the Cardinals to win that game. Kyler of duty, maybe he'll get it done. They've looked a little bit more game and spry in their efforts to sit down to a Thanksgiving meal and get a higher draft pick. How about Browns a mile high in the football sky against the Broncos? The Browns could potentially have one of the all-time great defenses. They will start Dorian Thompson-Robinson again on the road against Mr. Unlimited, the dangerous one. Russell Wilson, Broncos could be making a push for one of those wild card slots in a wide-open AFC, Andy.
Yeah, they could. They've turned it around. They're not giving up 70 points anymore. They're making plays. I know at one point people were like, oh, Russell Wilson, you're stuck with him. Do you want him? He's playing pretty good football. Sean Payton's kind of pulling it all together. They are interesting. And on the flip side, that Browns defense you talk of, Jim Schwartz coaching that up. Mm-hmm. Jim Schwartz is a name that I've heard some Patriots fans throw out there as a possible head coaching candidate.
Get out of here.
Yep. The former, I believe he was the Lions coach when they went.
And the Colts, I think, for a time.
Was a little interim action there?
But he
was Schwartz be with you?
He was definitely with the Lions, and he's a Bill Belichick guy. He goes way, way back with Bill. He's one of those Bill guys, so I don't know if people like that or dislike that, how that would play into things.
And I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
What?
All right. Bills-Eagles 425 on Sunday.
Yeah.
Are the Bills back with Joe Brady as offensive coordinator? This could be a fun one. I mean, the Bills could either continue to climb out of the mess they made for themselves, or the Eagles could put them back in their place and leave them at 500 heading down the stretch.
Do the Eagles just play all the good teams? Feels like every week the Eagles are in
a good
football
game. It's a hell of a schedule, isn't it, to be 9-1 so far against?
Yes. How about I pencil in the Eagles as non-fraudulent Super Bowl favorites? Because, the Cowboys are good. They haven't beaten anybody. The Lions, don't trust them. The Niners, we'll see. The Eagles are taking care of business with a tough schedule. Give me the Eagles.
Yeah, I kind of think the Eagles roll in this one on Sunday. I think the Bills have way too many problems. We on the Six Rings podcast pointed to it all the way back last January, let alone in the offseason, that there could be trouble in Western New York paradise. Orchard Park, not doing so nice. Chiefs-Raiders, 4 o'clock Sunday. Pretty decent 4 o'clock schedule for Week 12 for the football fan who needs to put his feet up after decorating the tree if you're like me and you like getting the holiday action up early. And Sunday night, we wrap it up with Ravens at Chargers. Could this be the end of the Brandon Staley era in Los San Diego?
Too late. Should have been over already. If I'm Justin Herbert, I'm pissed. My career is being wasted. The early stages of my career is being wasted by that finger-pointing boob.
You timed out finger-pointing boob.
Nailed it. Landed that plane, baby. Hit the post.
Stuck the landing. Nailed the post, as they say in radio. Good job. 617-779-7937 is your number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we hope to be able to carry some of Bill Belichick live at Gillette Stadium as he makes his pre-Giants post-Thanksgiving remarks as we head into the Week 12 matchup of Patriots at New York Football Giants. Just a half an hour to go here with your old pals Fitzy and Hart on WEEI. Top of the final hour here on Fitzy and Hart on WEEI. We're with you until 11:30, at which point we throw it to the Boston College Eagles pregame show before the Eagles game at noon. And now we join briefly Bill Belichick live at the podium from Gillette Stadium with his remarks before Sunday's game at the Giants.
Good effort. We're working some competitive drills out there. Yeah. The guys trying to get ready to go. Yeah. Get a little bit healthier. Take care of some of the bumps and bruises this week, last week. So hopefully the injury list will be shorter, be ready to play.
Bill, do you tell all the players to be ready to go every game? Or
yes, this week? That's right. What do you think? I tell them not to be ready? Don't worry about this one. Just take the week off. Yeah. Every day, every game, it's like that's what we come in here for. Every day. The goal is to try to accomplish every day and try to accomplish them. Every day. Yeah.
Do you anticipate having a trim round on Sunday?
Check the injury report. Everybody's practiced this week. So.
You know, Colin McDermott is out of practice squad obligations. Is that a sign now before Sunday's game?
That's a possibility.
Bigger picture question is about coaching. In the last few weeks, we've seen teams make changes, firing coordinators. Washington relieved Jack Del Rio of his duties. Buffalo, we saw offensive coordinator fired. Pittsburgh, we saw offensive coordinator in season. And just as someone who's been in the coaching profession, I'm just curious, how much does that like pain you for the coaching profession when you see the volatility of in-season changes like that?
Yeah, I'm not that familiar with those situations, Mike. You'd have to ask those coaches, those teams about it. I saw Mike, you know, made a comment after he released Coach Canada, but ask Mike about it. I don't know. I'd say I have nothing to worry about right here, what we do. So kind of trying to focus on getting our team ready to go, do the best job I can with our team. And I'm sure everybody else has things they need to deal with, but that's really outside of my framework.
Regarding a guy that decided the active roster several weeks ago, who had been elevated several times this year, Jeremiah Farms, was at a practice squad last year.
Mm-hmm.
He came a long way in the last few years as a football player. I'm just curious, you know, what your impressions are of him and kind of his journey to where he is today.
Yeah, earned everything he's gotten. He's earned it. Shows up every day, ready to go. Gives a great look on the practice scout squads. Does a good job when he gets an opportunity to play, whether that's in practice, in preseason games, regular season games that he's played. So, you know, he's earned more opportunities, more playing time, and so it's a good thing. Shows up every day. No.
Players have spoken highly of Coach O'Brien's work dating back to the summer. I'm just curious, as you navigate a challenging season here, is it helpful to have someone with his experience, both in, as an offensive coordinator and head coach, to kind of keep everyone moving in the same direction.
Sure, yeah. I mean, Bill works hard, and he puts in a lot of time. It's, very detailed, and, studies what we do, studies what our opponents do, puts together good, plan, outlines it, goes over it in detail with the players. So, yeah, he's had a lot of experience, so that's good. Yeah, he's a really good player. He's a major force. Hard guy to block. He's big, athletic, blocks kicks. It's hard to move him off the line of scrimmage, and when he penetrates, he can penetrate as well as any player in the league. He's big and powerful and long. It's pretty unique. I mean, we faced a lot of good inside players going all the way back to even in the preseason, like Walker, Green Bay, and just go right down the line, guys that we've seen or worked against or whatever. Man, he's a major force.
I know this is going back ways. Was there any hope he might help you guys in that draft? I think it was 19.
Yeah, I have to go back and take a closer look at that. I mean, look, there's always, a couple of guys that, you think.
All right, we're getting a little information and some humor, a little podium tapping as well, and more from Bill Belichick. That was the head coach of the Patriots live at Gillette Stadium addressing the media in advance of Sunday's game at MetLife Stadium against his former team, the New York Football Giants. Not much there, Andy, except for, like I said, some podium tapping, some classic Belichick injury report. Double speak, although a little humor, the whole what do you want me to tell him not to get ready? Okay, all right. So Bill's doing Bill still. He's in any given season, mid-season form, if you will. We came in on the presser a little bit late after we rejoined from commercial, and he did address the starting quarterback situation, as we can presume and should have done, rightly so, that the question was asked, have we named a starter, or do we have any info on who's going to be starting Sunday? I believe producer Joe Braverman has that exchange ready for us.
Even though you've told them to be ready, in your own mindset, got it?
I've told everybody to be ready to go.
Bill, why aren't you going
to announce it? Yeah, then we'll be announcing then who's starting this, who's playing that, who's doing this, who's doing that. I mean, once we get going on that, then I'm not going down that road. So, sorry.
Okay. Well,
to be fair, Bill, in November of 2001, you announced that Tom Brady for the foreseeable future would be your starting quarterback. So You've done it. You've done it before. Let's not pretend you haven't done it before, Bill. You've done it before. And I'm not saying he should feel the need to, doesn't need to do what we want him to do. Maybe he thinks he gets, I know college coaches get, especially early in the year, they'll be very tight with this if there's some question as to who their quarterback will be for a preparation advantage against an opponent. But let's not pretend you've never told us who was going to start at certain positions or done anything like that before. You have. You choose not to, and that's fine. And yes, you should have everybody ready to play. There was a question about, do you tell all your players every week to be ready to play? And Bill goes, no, I tell them to take this week off sometime. I don't often laugh at what Bill has to say. I think sometimes there's fake laughs from the media. That one genuinely made me laugh here.
That was a good one, actually. No, I laughed at that one as well. That's great. Like, I wouldn't mind a little bit more of that humor and a little bit more of that Belichick sarcasm as well. But I just wonder, what's the edge? What's the gamesmanship element? What competitive advantage is he looking to get either from his players? Like, what is he looking to get from the players, Andy? And what is he looking to get over Brian Daboll and the Giants by still keeping the starting quarterbacks for Sunday's game a mystery?
Well, I think it's removing individual pressure, I don't think it's actually a tactical advantage against the Giants. I think it's more everyone's wondering who the starter is, and that story's kind of petered out over the last 2 weeks. It's not a real hot topic. If you name the starter, almost regardless of who it is, of the three options, it's going to ignite the flames of the topic. Don't you agree? Like Zappe. Oh, Zappe's getting his shot again. He got screwed last year. But Mac, I can't believe they're keeping Mac. But if we don't know, we can't passionately blow the story up at all. Certainly Will Grier would be a notable change at the quarterback position. So I think he's attempting to dampen the story to control the narrative up until game time, and then all the world will see who takes the field. But at that point, you're just talking about the game. You're not kind of speculating on why the decision was made or how it plays out or blah, blah, blah. So I think he's dampening the story.
Yeah. So he doesn't want it to sort of like, he doesn't want a wildfire of Mac Jones finally benched, or Bailey Zappe, Zappe fever could get his second chance at Zappe hour, or Will Grier, like. So he's just keeping it tamped down. It's not like he's trying to like, oh, we'll see if we can make the Giants prepare for three thoroughly mediocre mid-20-something right-handed quarterbacks that are not very mobile.
Right. I was going to say there's not a huge difference between these options, even though I've never really seen Will Grier play that much.
I'm just guessing he's like-ish. Bailey Zappe.
Yeah, no.
Zappe's a little shorter. Mac is Mac.
Oh. That tailed off in a negative way.
I didn't know where else to go with it.
Mac is Mac. Could have said it like that.
Mac is Mac, and what do we have to fear about the Grier? I don't know. I'll be honest, I haven't seen him play much, to be completely frank.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, I think the highlight of his life was, as I keep referencing, when he set like the all-time record in a high school playoff game with 870 yards passing or something to that.
How
level.
Does somebody throw for 870 yards in a game? Is that a lot? That's got to be a
usually
lot.
Usually with their right hand.
Usually with the right arm, though.
He puts it in his right hand.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to be a lot of yak. That can't just be all air yards.
Oh, yeah, no, I think there's a lot of yak there. I'm guessing he had some athletes on the perimeter who broke tackles, and when they got into the open field, they were gone. Yes, I would, because I think he had eight touchdowns in that game. But no, just
only
to get back to
eight? Jeez, I would think he'd have like 50. Still a pretty good day. Not bad.
Getting back to this sort of topic, though, like, it doesn't really bother me the way Bill has handled this. I've had my rants in the past that, oh, he worries too much about this crap. He worries too much about the narrative and the media and the performances. My guess is, I'll change my tune completely. My guess is, all week, the Patriots have known who's starting at quarterback. David Andrews knows whose hands are going to be under his cutucus to start the game. And Ramondre Stevenson knows who will be handing him the ball to start the game. If they don't, if the quarterbacks and the team does not know, I think this is another fireable offense, an utter
That's
disservice.
Coaching malpractice, yes, sir.
Absolutely. Everybody involved. But I'm going to give Bill Belichick, I think he's earned that, the benefit of the doubt, that the team, the players, the quarterbacks, the linemen, everybody knows who's starting at quarterback. They know what their role is going to be on Sunday. They know if they have a chance, like maybe they're going to rotate. Maybe Bill said, listen, Mac, it's your start, but don't be offended and don't give up if I put Zappe in. We've reached the point where everything is on the table. Like, I think there is probably a comfort and an awareness of what the quarterback situation is going to be in New York.
When do you think we finally get the are we talking like rap sheet at like 10 a.m. on Sunday? Hey, thanks, Rich. My sources are saying
but they've been wrong at times.
Situation.
So that's the other thing. I mean, crap sheet sources said that Mac Jones was on the shortest leash or whatever, and he was on the longest leash because his backup was Malik Cunningham, who the team doesn't even consider a quarterback anymore, in Las Vegas. So I don't think that necessarily means it's true, whatever crap sheet or Schefter say.
Here's
on Sunday
what
morning. What's that?
Here's what we know.
Oh, that was just crap sheet interrupting me. Go screw crap sheet.
And I can't even believe I have to say this.
I can.
I love that we have an Ian Rappaport folder of audio clips and drops ready to roll. I mean, to me, they have to have known days in advance. Yes, of course, we've gone over Mac Jones probably gives the team the best chance to win, because if he were playing at max capacity, full firepower, had all cylinders rolling and humming and running, then he would definitely be the best of the three. But he doesn't right now. And I don't know if he's been able to take a week and a half since the failure in Frankfurt to get his head right and wrap his arms and his mind around his offensive lineman and who he has for weapons and assets. You know, you heard Tom Brady earlier kind of sort of take a shot, if you will, at the way Mac Jones has played this year. After earlier, we heard Mac Jones say Tom Brady's been good, giving him some advice this year. I mean, he's just got to be so spun around at this point that maybe, just maybe, a break would do, you know, not putting anything else on tape. Like, how much better can Mac Jones play the rest of this season? The answer is a lot, because he's played so poorly. You know, is he looking to improve where he may ultimately go if the Patriots release him or trade him somewhere? Is he looking to maybe try to get him? He's not going to get that fifth-year option picked up, where we can say with almost certainty that he won't be around for after next year. But is he hoping to solidify his shot at being a bridge quarterback next year if the Patriots take somebody in the draft? And who takes that guy? I don't know. And then with my only thing with Greer, too, is A, the wild card factor to give us something completely different and unexpected, and B, just maybe you can find out if this guy has improved his game, put him up against a slightly inferior opponent in the Giants Sunday, and then, you know, maybe he proves that he could be a bridge backup or somebody you could just sort of like have on call over the next, you know, couple of months or couple of years in Foxborough.
I think he says this, he needs to live this, be where his feet are. And his feet are, if they're under center for snap one, win the snap. And then on the next one, win that down. And then on the next one, because the quarterback position is, we know how hard it is, how important it is. I've become a quarterback apologist since watching my son play the position to some degree, where you live and die by every throw. But if Mac makes two good throws in the red zone in Frankfurt, and he hits Mike Gesicki for a touchdown, and he hits Hunter Henry for a touchdown, they win that game, and we're having different conversations. Two throws. You know, he's 15 of 20, whatever he was. They're in the red zone. He makes two hellacious throws at the end zone, inside the red zone, at the goal line. So that's the fine line he walks. So it's really play to play, right? Mm-hmm. Like he has to eliminate the terrible. Just get back to, you know, just suck a little, as the great Lou Maloney likes to say. Mm-hmm. Eliminate those terrible. We got to see it. You mentioned it with the Bland kid. Don't throw the pick six. Don't throw the hellacious turnover in the red zone. Like, it's that close to just, and I'm not saying he becomes a franchise QB.
That's the problem, is that he's, like, that's the problem, dude. I know. Mac is playing with the fear of, okay, I can't throw a pick six on this one. And, like, it's making his
play. So win the play. Like, I think it's too big picture for him. He needs to really be like those horses going down the road with the blinders on. One step in front of the other. One step. I'm in Bourbon Street. I'm a horse. There's chaos around me. Just go where the officer directs me, one step at a time. That's what Mac has to do. He's on Bourbon Street. He's a Clydesdale, and there are boobs everywhere and chaos and drinks. Put your blinders on and do your job, horsey.
I never thought I would ever hear the New England Patriots quarterback position compared to a horse on Bourbon Street at 4 a.m.
Yep.
But here we are during this wild, wild season.
Definitely a Black Friday show, then.
It's definitely a Black Friday
Blackout show. Friday.
Hey, we only got a couple minutes left, Andy, before we throw it to commercial, pay some bills, and then, of course, to the Boston College Eagles Radio Network, the pregame show, in advance of the 12 o'clock game, the Miami Hurricanes, the U, is against BC from Alumni Stadium in beautiful Chestnut Hill. You've obviously got a Bruins Black Friday matinee, Red Wings at Bruins. Bruins 14-1-3 on the season. We'll see if they can pick up a nice home dub for the Garden Faithful and the Causeway Warriors today. But also, we've got a 2:30 Celtics matchup as they are in Orlando, which gave them fits last season, to take on the Magic. And with a quick Celtics injury update, Joe Braverman.
So I had mentioned in the trending that Drew Holiday was probable, Jaylen Brown was questionable. We've got updates to that. Jaylen Brown is active. He's going to play. However, Drew Holiday, doubtful with that ankle sprain.
Ooh, okay. Well, maybe best he gets a day off. He only had 5 points the other night in his first reunion matchup against his former team, the Milwaukee Bucks. I guess that would mean a little more ball handling today from Derek White. It would be nice to see the Celtics after a tough one Monday night against Charlotte, and then a really good game Wednesday night where they almost gave it away against the Bucks. Would be nice to see them shed themselves of whatever sort of mystique the Orlando Magic, who are kind of always spry in game against the Celtics, had over them last season. Wow, Magic are 10-5 in the season. Good for them.
Mm-hmm. And the Celtics have the best record in the NBA. You're supposed to be the team, so don't take a step back after getting that big win over the Bucks. That's a huge win. You circled it. Great job. Keep the momentum moving forward.
All right, Andy, good job today by you. Good job by Joe Braverman. You can give him a follow at Jumbo Heart for Andy's latest musings, his columns at WEEI, and more. Andy is off until Sunday, at which point he joins me for the Six Rings postgame show live here on WEEI following Patriots at Giants. I'll be back tomorrow from 9 to 11:30. filling in for Chris Curtis, the old Laird and Fitzy show on a Saturday morning on WEEI. Everybody enjoy the day. There's great college football on today. There's NFL football if you have Amazon Prime at 3 o'clock. Take advantage of the deals. Be good to each other. Eat well, drink up, God bless, and go Patriots. Take care, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.